The Parsha of the Mun is the source for various halacha lemaisa halachos, as in the requirement of Suda Shabbos and Lecha Mishnah, and perhaps a source for the Isser Tchumen. There are other halachas that are kind of local to Achilas Man itself, which is not directly halacha lemaisa, though there may be some halacha lemaisa tangential applications. I thought tonight we discuss some of those related halachos. One of them we discussed last year we discussed the topic of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, which was connected to an observation that the Pardes Yosef and the Klei Chemda make in the context of the Parsha. We'll just chazer that for 2 minutes and then move on to some other Hilchos Mun issues. Let's pull up the shared screen. Okay, so the Torah tells us, "Vayomer alehem hu asher dibir Hashem Shabbason Shabbos Kodesh Hashem Achar Eis asher tafu eifu veEis asher tavashlu b'sheilu veEis kol haodei fanichu lachem l'mishmeres ad haboker." Klai Yisrael are instructed to make whatever preparations are necessary for the month in advance of Shabbos, because you can't violate any malacha in preparation of food on Shabbos itself. So the Klei Chemda and the Pardes Yosef are bothered. The mun didn't really require any advanced preparation. That's what the Gemara tells us in Yuma on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and Chazal's tradition that the mun was clearly ready made. So what need was there to cook it or to bake it? And after all, the Rambam tells us Paritas Shabbos Halacha Gimel, Hamavashel Al Or Davreshu Mavushel Kotzarcho Davreshenotzarch Bishul Klal is Pater. That if a person cooks something that doesn't require any cooking, either it's been fully cooked already, or it doesn't require any cooking, then pater, that there's no issur d'oraisa, maybe there isn't even a malacha d'rabbanan involved. So what was the concern? Bake everything ahead of time, there's nothing to bake, and there shouldn't be any issur, at least any issur d'oraisa, in baking something on Shabbos that doesn't require any baking. So the Klei Chemda, the Pardes Yosef, have the answer that maybe those parameters of Bishul only were given post-Matan Torah. Maybe the Isser Bishul after Mara was more expansive than the Isser Bishul L'Achar Matan Torah, and Yesh Bishul L'Achar Bishul, even if something didn't require any cooking or any baking, there might have still been a violation of doing so on Shabbos. Maybe a little bit more compelling answer is suggested by the Ma'adan Yasher, based on the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Hey, that tells us that there are different gradations of the effect of the mun for different classes of the population. The Gemara there tells us, Tzadikim yared al Pesach bateyam, the tzadikim, the mun would fall on their doorstep. Beinonim yasuv laktu, the average people, they'd have to go out and gather it. Rishayim shatuv laktu, and the Rishayim had to do even more work to prepare the food and then and gather it. And then the Gemara says, it says lechem, it says ugos, it says betachanu, aketzad, tzadikim, it came down as lechem, beinonim, it came down as ugos, rishayim, they had to do all the grinding. The Rashi says lechem means it's already baked, ugos means that it wasn't yet baked. So there were classes of the population that didn't have ready-made food, it had to be prepared. So that's what the reference is, that if you need to prepare it, you have to do so before Shabbos. Okay, so that we spoke about a little last year, and we spoke about the more general parameters of Bishul Archa Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's move on and talk about other mun-related halachos. The Mechilta has the following. Mechilta de Rashbi Perek Tes Zayin. Shabbason Shabbos Kodesh L'Hashem. Amr lo Emesai. Amr lan Machar. Eis asher tafu eifu. Eis asher tafashu bashelu. Al hafu yafu, al mevushal bashlu, cook what needs to be cooked, bake what needs to be baked. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, harotza la'afos mis'afalo, harotza levasha mis'bashalo. No, a person who wanted something baked, it would be baked for him. A person who wanted something cooked, it would be baked, cooked for him. Rabbi Lazar Merdaya Omer, eis asher tofu eifu, harotza litam davar afui toim bo, tam kol afuin shabolam. Davar bishul, toim bo tam kol bishulin shabolam. If someone wanted to taste something baked, they would taste it baked. If someone wanted to taste something cooked, they would taste it cooked. So that's the tradition of Chazal, that the mun had a taste based on what the interest of the person was, that it was made to order to a person's specific taste. So based on that, the Chida raises the following question. I saw this quoted in the Madan Yasher. Chida in a couple of places, Pesach Einayim, which is his Perish al Hashas, Kulan Daf Kuf Tes. The Gemara there tells us the famous line or famous conversation between Yalsa and Rav Nachman. Amar lo Yalsa Rav Nachman, Michti, called the Asa lan Rachmana, Sharon lan Kavase. We have a tradition that whatever is Aser, there's a parallel in the world that is Mutter. Dam Nida is Aser, Dam Tower is Mutter. Some Chalavim are Aser, some Chalavim are Mutter. So then the Gemara is the example. What about the ina lamechal bisa b'chalba? I want to eat basar b'chalav. Amar Rav Nachman, the tabachi is vikulach chachali. So basar b'chalav, you have that taste of basar b'chalav or that experience of basar b'chalav if you have the udder, if you eat the udder of an animal. Fine. So the Chida writes in his Pesach Inayim to Chulin that he uses Gemara to respond to a question raised by a nichbad gevir echad, a respected gevir. We wanted to know, we have the traditions, we just saw that the man tasted what the person who ate it wanted to taste like. So was it mutter to have a machshava that the man should taste like chazer or other machalas asuras or other food that's not kosher? So can he have a machshava that the man should have tasted like non-kosher food? So you go to this Gemara, apparently you see from here, there's no iser in tasting non-kosher food. You want to taste basar b'chalav, have an udder. So in the time of the man, you want it to taste chazer. So no problem if it tastes like chazer. No iser involved. If it was aser, then it shouldn't have worked. That's what the Chida writes there. And he expands on that in his Sefer on Chumash, Komas Anach, Parshas Baloscha. There, Bnei Yisrael complains, remember the fish that we used to eat in Mitzrayim for free. So the Chida quotes a Medrash Pliya that says, Mikan shemadlikin neiros b'Shabbos. This is a source that you light candles Friday night. The fact that Bnei Yisrael said we remember the taste of the fish in Mitzrayim, that's a source for lighting candles Friday night. What does one have to do with the other? So he quotes a certain Rav that made the following suggestion. One second, what do they have to complain that they used to eat fish in Mitzrayim? They're eating the man every day. The man could taste, if they wanted fish, the man could taste like fish. So this rabbi said that even if the man tastes like fish, it's still not the same experience as seeing fish. There's a certain hana that you get from seeing the food that looks like the food that you're eating. So that was the complaint. So why do we light candles Friday night? So you can see the food. So that's the source for lighting candles Friday night. So someone asked on this Rav, maybe Zachanu Sadaga was here talking about the non-kosher fish. And the man couldn't taste like non-kosher fish because that's non-kosher. That's what they're complaining about. So Chida says, nope, it's not true. Even if they wanted non-kosher fish, the man could have tasted like non-kosher fish based on this Gemara and Chulin, that there's nothing wrong with wanting your man to taste like something non-kosher. Then the Madan Yasher also quotes a Ragachaver. Ragachaver, Tshuva Satnas Paneah, Chelek Aleph, Simen Beis. Chelek Aleph, Simen Beis. Is Mitzayin, Kedarko, just a Marmakom. Mitzayin, a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and a Rashi there. The Gemara wants to know the status of Basar Hayored Min Hashemayim. And the Gemara asks, if you have Basar Yom Min Hashemayim, Davar Tamehu or Davar Tahor? Amulei, ain't Davar Tameh Yari Min Hashemayim. It's coming down from Shemayim, it's not a Davar Tameh. It says Rashi, Amulei, ain't Davar Tameh Yari Min Hashemayim, Vidavar She'enohu, there's no such thing. There's no meat that falls out in a Shemayim. Vim yesh no tahor, but if there were to be such a thing, it would be tahor. So the Ragajar seems to be saying, ah, oh, you see from here that if you have something that otherwise would be tameh, that is yari min haShemayim, it's considered tahor, it's considered kosher. So if you wanted to have a machshava that the mancha tastes like something not kosher, that would have been okay and that would have been kosher. relevant to the OU's decision not to give a hechsher on impossible pork and things like that. But that was more for public policy considerations than for halacha considerations. But based on this, the fact that something has a taste of non-kosher, if it's halachically kosher, doesn't make it non-kosher. And maybe even al pi hashgafas haTorah, there's nothing wrong with wanting to taste something non-kosher if indeed it is kosher. That would seem to emerge from these Maror Mekomos. Okay. The more famous discussion related to Hilchos Maan is the question that the Bnei Yisaskar discusses in his Maamarim on Shabbos, number 3, Os Gimel, where he writes that he was sitting around with some Rabbanim at some point, and they were discussing the question as to what bracha was recited on the Maan. They quote a Ramami Panu that lasid lava the li bracha v'motzi lechem min hashamayim. One, in fact, was the bracha that was recited on the Maan. So the Bnei Yisaskar thinks that maybe there wasn't any bracha. We'll talk about why in a moment. Except for on Shabbos, he has a suggestion that on Shabbos they would say the bracha Asher kiddushan misasav etzivano lechol sudas Shabbos. And that's what it means that kitshu b'man u bircha b'man, the statement of Chazal, that there's actually a bracha on the man on Shabbos, dafka of Asher kiddushan misasav etzivano lechol sudas Shabbos. What would the reason be that no bracha would be required on man? Meaning the starting point is you're not going to say a motzi lechem in aretz because it doesn't come in aretz so far. So why would you say no bracha? Pardes Yosef Os Pei Beis says maybe that's based on the famous Chuvas HaRashba. Chuvas HaRashba, Siman Yocheset, discusses the parameters. When do we say a Birchas HaMitzvah? When do we not say a Birchas HaMitzvah? So he has the principle that if the Birchas HaMitzvah is on a mitzvah that's going to depend on some other factors that are beyond your control, then you're not going to say bracha. So there's no bracha on the mitzvah tzedakah because maybe the ani is not going to agree to receive the donation, and then it'll end up being a bracha levatala. Or if birchas kedushin is a birchas eres and birchas hamitzvah, so then maybe the kala won't agree to receive the kesef kedushin. That would be a bracha levatala. So it says the Pardes Yosef, based on that principle, maybe over here also you're going to recite a bracha on the man, and you're going to have a mind when you're saying the bracha on the man that you want it to taste like corned beef, and then you're going to change your mind that you want it to taste like an apple, then maybe that's going to be a bracha levatala. He's assuming in the ha'aros of the Imre Yamas, the Ger Reb in the bottom of the Pardes Yosef, he makes this assumption that if there would have been a bracha on the man, or if there was a bracha on the man, the bracha would be whatever bracha you would make on the food that it's supposed to taste like. So if you're working that assumption, so then you have this potential question, maybe that'll be bracha levatala if initially you have in mind food X with bracha X, and then you change your mind to have food Y, which should have been bracha Y. But the Pardes Yosef, why would you make that assumption? I'm not sure. But he seems to assume that, and the Ger Rebbe assumed that. I'm not sure why you'd assume that. We'll talk about other possibilities. But then if you're making that assumption, then you could talk about maybe some bracha levatala. He acknowledges then maybe even if you make that assumption, you don't have to take it to the next step because even the Rashba's principle may only be relevant where it's tali b'das acherim. He quotes the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer to this effect. In the case of tzedakah, so whether you're mekayem the mitzvah is dependent on someone else. Here we're talking about your own Shinui machshava. So why would you change your machshava in such a way that's going to impose a bracha levatala on you yourself? If it's tali b'das acherim, but if it's tali b'das atzmo, we're not choshesh that you're going to have a charata and change your mind in such a way that you're going to be goreim a bracha levatala. And beyond that, even if we're talking about with tali b'das acherim, he points out, also not pashut that this would necessarily be considered bracha levatala if someone were to change his mind. L'mashal, there's a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer Chelik Beis Simin shin, cuff. The Chasam Sofer's assumption, or his bottom line, is that in a situation in which you said a bracha on a freshes challah, you said a bracha on a freshes truma, and then you're shoal on the hafrasha in such a way that it turns out that the hafrasha was not chal. He assumes that that is not a bracha levatala, because at the time that you said the bracha, everything was in place that the bracha was chal. So the fact that you're going to do a sheila on the truma on the challah later on, that'll render it not chal and not truma lamafreya, doesn't change the fact that at the time that you did it, it was chal and truma, and the bracha was chal. Also relevant, Tshuva Chasam Sofer Yerideya Simuration of Gimel, in the context of a ger katan. Why don't you say, as a Chasam Sofer, that you can't make a bracha on tefillas ger katan, because higdili chalom limchos, when the ger katan becomes a gadol, he has the ability to be mocha to protest against the geiros, in which case he ends up, the geiros is no longer chal, and that's a question: does that mean it's only not chal mikana laba, or maybe it's not chal even lemafreya? So if he's a mustachal lemafreya, maybe I could ekach that if he was mago b'yayin would end up being yayin esach lemafreya. So then it should be bracha levatal lemafreya as well. Whoever said the bracha at the time of the geiros. So Chasam Sofer thinks that's not the case. If all the ingredients were in place at the time, though, to be a valid bracha, so that doesn't become a retroactive bracha levatala. Many batei din in practice do not recite a bracha on ger katan. That's Rosh Shechter's position, but there are batei din that do, and that relates to this issue of the Chasam Sofer. Are we choshesh that something could happen later that could make this bracha into a bracha levatala retroactively? So it's very possible that you can't make a bracha into bracha levatala retroactively, even if circumstances change, if everything was in place at the time of the bracha that warranted a bracha at that point. There is a Nishmas Adam Klal Kuf Nun Beis, in which he discusses, both in the context of lulav and the context of brachos, the status of something grown in an atzitz She'eino Nakav, in a flower pot that has no holes in it, such that the dirt in the flower pot is not connected to the ground. So in that discussion, he assumes that you definitely wouldn't say Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz on the Mun, because it wasn't Min Ha'aretz. If it's not Min Ha'aretz, and you can't say Min Ha'aretz. And he assumes that's relevant to hydroponics, or something that's not grown, an atzitz she'eino nakav, that's not grown in the ground proper, that you definitely couldn't call that min haaretz, and maybe you couldn't call that pre-hadama either. So that is one potential halacha lemaisa ramification of the discussion as to what bracha may or may not have been recited on the mat. The Chemdas Yisrael, the author of the Klei Chemda, sorry.
Well, the general min, this is a kind of min that usually goes to Hadamah.
One could definitely say that, but the Chachmas Adam is not assuming that. The Chemdas Yisrael, the author of the Klei Chemda, quotes a fascinating Sfarno in our Sedra, Peretz Zayin, Pasuk of Zayin, Yatsu Min Ha'am. So some of the people came out to gather mun even on Shabbos. Machane el rachok. So they didn't see any mun locally, so they went out to distance. They thought maybe they'd find the mun there. Hilo ne'emana eskel rachum. They didn't believe what Hashem eskel rachem. They didn't believe what they were told, that there won't be any mun on Shabbos. Lil kot v'zeh yachil Shabbos b'li safek. If they would have gathered the mun, that would have been Chil Shabbos. Gidula. If they would have gathered the mun from where it grew, that would have been a Malacha d'Oraisa. If you pluck a vegetable from the thorns, that's a malacha d'oraisa p'tolish. So the Sarna is saying that they were gathered, if they would have gathered them on, that would have been a malacha d'oraisa of ochre davar migidulo of tolish. What's the ochre davar migidulo? We thought it fell min hashamayim. Why don't they say ma'amer? If you just pick up one portion, that's probably not ma'amer. Yeah, but if everyone got one individual portion a month, that wouldn't be, if everyone took their own portion, that wouldn't be ma'amer. It would have been, well, so Sfarno saying, whatever the Sfarno means, it sounds like it was connected somehow in a way that would have led to Tolish. So that's what the Chemda Sisrael picks up on. Chelik Beis, Simen Yudalid, Os Beis. So he says the assumption is that you couldn't say Amosi Lachem in Aretz because it's not in Aretz. But what does the Sfarno mean? The Sfarno says that it was Oker Dover Migidulo. It was Tolish. So apparently, you see from there, he was assuming that the man had some kind of unikum mearkarka. Somehow it did, it was connected to the ground. And then maybe that would have warranted, he says, a bari pi adama. So whatever the Sfarno meant to Mitzia somehow was connected to the ground. And therefore, the Chemda Sisrael thinks if there was a bracha on the man, it would have been Bore pri hadama, because it's growing on the ground. Okay. That's all as far as bracha Rishona. Yes, that's what the Ramami Panusa. That's where we started. That's what the B'nai started. That's what they said. If they said a bracha, I don't know. I wasn't there. Why is
that? It's also
Right.
really.
Okay. But I don't know if that's a Matbeah Shetav Chachamim. But this is all before the Chachamim. Don't know. So that's all about a bracha Rishon. What about a bracha Achrona? So bracha Achrona may be before Shagamara. That's what Rebbeinu Bachya points out here. Perek Tesayin Pasuk Yudbeis. Shetivarchu with Shmi Al Mazon. Kinyan Shakasu V'yachad V'savata B'rachtas Hashem Lakach. Mikan Amar Chazal. Brachas Mem Ches. Moshe Tike Lehem Lisrael Birchas Hazan. B'sha Shiyar Lehem Aman. Umizah Amru Birchas Hamazan Daraisa. So it's true. V'yachad V'savata B'rachta is the source for Birchas Hamazan Daraisa. But Chazal of the tradition that Birkas Hamazon d'Oraisa was established by Moshe Rabbeinu when the man fell down. So presumably they were benching, saying Birkas Hamazon over the man, at least Birkas Hazan. But Birkas Hamotzi, but apparently Birkas Hamazon they did recite. The Chazon Ish is bothered by, or at least raises the following question pertaining to the recitation of Birchas Hamazon, which is, so there is a halacha when it comes to Birchas Hamazon that the time frame in which you can recite Birchas Hamazon is tov zman ikol, as long as you haven't fully digested the food that you ate. So he has a little bit of discussion. What does that mean? Is that a is the ikur chiyuv right when you finish eating? But if you didn't bench right when you finish eating, you could still bench as long as you haven't reached so sman ikol, or is the ikur chiyuv as long as you haven't reached sman ikol? So he says part of that's relevant when it comes to the man. The assumption is Moshe Tikkun Lisa Birkas Hamazon at the time of Birkas Hazan and the time of when they receive the man, so they're reciting Birkas Hamazon d'oraisa. The Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Ayin Hey that the man was considered lechem avirim. It was lechem that was totally absorbed in the body. It was totally absorbed in the body, didn't go through the regular digestive process. The first thing was havim means lechem avim means lechem of the malachim. Then the Gemara says malachim don't eat. So it means that it was all absorbed in the body, didn't go through the regular digestive process. So if it didn't go through the regular digestive process, there is no zman equal. So what does that do about the shear for Birkas HaMazon? So the Chazanish says, so when it came to the man, there is no zman equal, and therefore they would have to recite Birkas HaMazon immediately without any hesek at the moment that they stopped eating. Okay. That's already 10:45. Guess we'll stop there. Maybe we'll talk about other mat halachos at some future point.
Shkach, Shabbos.
Okay, have a great Shabbos.